Well, in about 30 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines and take your phone calls with Dr. John Apsley. I've got a few more questions to ask him when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we are back with Dr. John Apsley. We'll take your calls, as I mentioned, in about 30 minutes or so. John, give us another round robin here on Max Gerson.
Okay, good. We'll cover the next two at the same time because they're so closely related.
Okay.
We've already talked about Max Gerson, specifically he had a really bad case of migraine headaches, and he cured himself with a special diet that he put together. It involved a lot of raw food juicing, especially carrots, and involved liver, and even potatoes, cooked potatoes were allowed, fresh vegetables, fresh fruits. And during that time, the plague of the day was tuberculosis, and nobody had a cure for that. So he decided he'd try his miraculous diet therapy on TB. And in 1921, he and a very famous professor at the major university in Germany published a study that showed that for terminal skin cancer, tuberculosis, which is can be terminal, oftentimes is if it's very advanced, they had a 99% cure.
Huge.
Huge. So it went worldwide. And as time went on, of course, he was treating lung tuberculosis with great success, not quite that high a success rate, but very high. And then because he was Jewish, he fled Germany wisely ahead of time, came to the U.S., and people here started asking him to treat not only their tuberculosis, but also other incurable diseases that included, of course, cancer. Well, since that time when he first started treating cancer, when they had access to foods that were grown in heavily mineralized soil, his success rate has been consistently no less than 30% from everything I've seen. With advanced terminal cancers. These are people in many cases that had already gone through all the conventional options and had failed. But many times they were just very advanced cancers that went to him first. Well, his program consists of thorough detoxification, thyroid medication, concentrated raw vegetables and liver juices, plus raw food diet therapy, lots of enzymes, and remineralization, which stresses oxygenation, which is iodine, vitamin C, niacin, aspirin, which we know helps the circulation, then there's potassium, no salt diet, and it emphasizes tweaking fevers, which activates the immune system to do the final digestion of the tumors. So his caveat that he had to his program, he talked about a lot, but was missing in his protocols to how to do it, related to the energy component, or he called it the autonomic nervous system, the transmission of signals, the proper signals of information that, of course, has to deal with the structured water. Now, one thing I failed to mention, I'm going to give you a big secret about the Lords of Water healing this woman, because it relates to this transmission of energy through our not only our nervous systems, but also through our blood vessels themselves. Not too many years ago, there was an investigator, researcher in acupuncture, who was brilliant, and he proved that what the meridians are of the body are actually invisible wires that are constructed of water. And he was able to show with lots of different techniques that was available to him back in the 70s and 80s that the meridian systems were not able to be found like a nerve could be or a blood vessel, because it was really part of the tissue that was in between the tissues that allowed this current of water to go all over the body. Well, water remembers information. Structured water holds perfect information about how cells function properly. This is the key to homeopathic medicine. That's the difference between structured water in healthy cells versus chaotic water, you know, or what they call bulk water in tumors. The information doesn't get properly conducted through the tumor itself. It's in chaos. Well, Gerson really was into the autonomic nervous system and fixing that, but he didn't understand about this water aspect. But he did get his patients the structured water by way of the juicing. Well, this researcher in acupuncture was humiliated by refuting scientists who didn't know what the heck they were doing. And the poor guy wound up actually taking his own life. You know, from Asia, you know, they lose their face and they kill themselves, right? Well, back in the 90s, two acupuncture researchers, really well-credentialed, picked up his research and went, oh, my God, he was right. It was the currents of water were able to be discerned finally by taking people who had just died, who had signed away a waiver, and they injected radioactive water into the points where they were supposed to be the entry points for this water vessel or the meridian vessel. And sure enough, this radioactive tracer went right up the exact meridian. And from there, they were able to finally grab a hold of what the meridians were really about and find out that it was composed of structured water. So when that woman who was dying, a young woman, full of minerals, full of everything else that she needed, probably raised on a farm that had lots of minerals in the soil, who was just about ready to die from poor communication between cells, which is one of the essential features of cancer. It just grows right into all the cells around it. When she was doused with that healing water that
must have gone into from the skin, right?
Exactly. It went right into the meridians, which were on top of the skin, and that goes everywhere else in the body. And she had an instantaneous healing. Well, we can get into other people that have done the same type of work with energy, organizing not only the water but the metals. Like, for example, Bjorn Nordenstrom, he was the radiologist that figured out how to do needle biopsy under radiographs. He was so well regarded that they didn't even bother to give him a Nobel Prize. Instead, they made him the chairman of the Nobel Prize Committee in Medicine.
Gave him that, huh?
They just gave him it. He proved outside of the normal venues of science, but perfectly in touch with the scientific method, how electrical currents, when properly applied to tumors, will dissolve them instantly. And it's part of this metals organizing water and then dissolving, ramping up the immune system, cleaning out the fungus or other infections that are there, and bringing the cells back to high gain. Okay, so any rate, this is Max Gerson. Well, Max Gerson didn't understand how to really tweak that energy component that was, I'm using his autonomic nervous system emphasis to bring us into the next guy, who is William Donald Kelly, who I mentioned had treated Steve McQueen first.
Okay.
All right. Well, William Donald Kelly had pancreatic cancer himself, and he cured himself of pancreatic cancer. And what he discovered was the only thing that Gerson hadn't quite elaborated on, which was how to do a metabolic typing profile to determine if your autonomic nervous system was too high in one way and too low in another. The autonomic nervous system has a brake in an accelerator. The flight or fight, when you get really excited, that's the sympathetic. And when you digest your food and sleep, that's the parasympathetic system.
And if you're going to attack it, you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So when the body does the reverse of what it should do, it causes all sorts of not only neurological problems like depression and lack of sleep, but also since we do almost all of our healing when we do sleep in REM, it can screw up our ability to maintain our high gain state or to defeat an infection or whatever, right? Well, Kelly figured out what that was. And that's the only thing he added to it, but it was a huge thing. And he tweaked it also with more enzymes than Gerson was using. And while he was being investigated for treating cancer as a dentist in state after state after state, he would flee as he was curing cancer as he went. A physician from Cornell named Nick Gonzalez, who has an active practice in Manhattan today, was graduating from Cornell, and he wanted to go and investigate this quack named Dr. Kelly. But he was open-minded. He said, maybe he's not a quack. So he called up Kelly, and he said, look, can I come and can I see your records? And Kelly said, you can see anything you want. I just asked for a fair evaluation of what I'm doing. So Nick Gonzalez went to Dr. Robert Good, the premier immunologist in our country at that time. He was the first immunologist to ever head a major cancer research facility at Sloan Kettering. Robert Good said, well, you know, if you're going to go down and investigate Dr. Kelly, I mean, he's a dentist. This is a real risky thing you're doing with your career. But look, we know that mesothelioma and pancreatic cancer right now are 100% incurable.
Well, yeah. Case in point, Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze, right? Michael Landon, you know, a whole list of people.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, look, if you can, we can create best case series here. This is way before the NCI accepted it in 92. They said, look, we know that we can't touch it. So if you can go and specifically go to his mesothelioma patients or his pancreatic cancer, just do one or the other, if he has enough cases, if he's able to cure any of those, or if those patients are living after 5 years with no signs of disease, then you've proven by process of elimination to scientific certainty that he has a cure for cancer. So he said, okay, great, I'm going to pick pancreatic cancer. So Gonzalez went down and went to, through his records and found 25 absolute clear-cut cases, well-documented, of pancreatic cancer. He started calling everyone. This is a true story. The first 11 people that he called had all died. So he was real disappointed and about ready to quit.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. So he decided to call the 12th person. The next entire number of people that he called were all alive and thriving. What a crazy thing. He just randomly...
And in that order.
In that order. Just he just picked the files and called, and the first 11 were all dead. So when he called the rest and they were all living, he said to himself, what the heck happened? And he went back and verified that all 11 of the ones that had died hadn't followed through on Kelly's program. They didn't do it.
Who had died? But the others?
The others had all religiously adhered to it. And one of them was well over 11 years past initial diagnosis. Absolute proof that Kelly's program cured pancreatic cancer.
That's amazing. All right, let's buzz through real quickly for just a moment and give me some bullet points on what you recommend people to do.
Okay. Well,
first and foremost, stay with your doctor, right?
Yes, stay with your doctor. And, we're going to skip to the end, but that's fine. I suggest they get the book Hypothyroidism Type 2, and they use that as their starting as their as the most important book they can buy, because thyroid is essential for people with cancer. And not just missing it. You can't miss being prescribed properly. You have to get the proper prescription, and it has to get your body temperature up to normal.
Do you believe that everyone who has cancer has a thyroid issue?
I would say that I have never seen a case that did not have low thyroid function when it's appraised according to the Barnes protocol. So that's number one. The second thing is detoxification. I recommend for everyone to get 10 colonics from a licensed colonic hygienist. And then the second thing I recommend that everyone does is to get a juicer.
Okay.
And just start juicing organic vegetables and fruits.
Or you can buy it too, right?
Yeah, you can. You
organic.
Can. You have to buy. You have to buy it in its raw state, which Aduella used to be all raw, but then they had some problems. So it's that you have to have them in their raw state, and they have to be grown not just organic, but they have to be grown on soil that's laced with rock dust.
Why?
It makes a huge difference. Well, because that's where the only place you can get these colloidal metals.
Really? Okay.
It's colloidal metal. Anything you cook will destroy the colloid state. But if the metals aren't in the food to begin with, then you're in trouble. Now, I've done exhaustive studies on the mineral content of both conventionally grown foods and organic foods, and there's not a lot of difference. There is some difference, but not a lot of difference. But when you add rock dust to the soil, which is a flowery-like, almost dust form of minerals, then you get a whole different fruit. I go into this example. It's a really great story. I'll tell it real quickly. When I was not feeling so well myself many years ago in the 70s, I traveled to Finhorn. And Finhorn had magical gardens that grew flowers year-round, even in the middle of a snowstorm, without any problems. Well, I was out during the three-week tour that they do, and I was out actually harvesting some of the foods that they grew on their property with the special techniques they used. And I was around tomatoes, and I grabbed one, and I was really hungry, and I ate it, and I swear I had a religious experience. I had no idea. I was like, what just happened? It was like something turned on in both my nervous system but also my mouth that I had never experienced life to be like.
So how do you know, though, that you're buying foods that were grown on that kind of rock dust.
It's better if you grow them yourself.
Not everybody can do that, John.
Well, you know, I bet you that if people needed to, they could find a way. It doesn't take but a few weeks during the warm time of year to do it, or you could go down and join the CSA, the Community Sustained Agricultural, and ask them to put rock dust on their soil, which they normally do. And for $25 a month, they give you all the fruits and vegetables you need. So CSA is nationwide, and just ask them to use rock dust while they're doing their organic techniques, and you've got a ready supply. And there's other ways you do with sprouts that you do at home and that type of thing. But that's key. That's the magic. That's the magic of Finhorn. Well, to contrast the difference between that tomato and another, I then loaded my tomatoes up onto the truck for it to be delivered to their kitchens. And on the way I turned out of the truck, I grabbed another tomato that I thought was from the property. And I ate it, and I couldn't taste it. And I made this really weird expression on my face, like, what the heck is this? And the driver who was walking out helping to bring things on board saw my face, and he goes, yeah, it's really amazing the difference, isn't it? Because he had seen it so many times before. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, you ate one of our tomatoes, and now you're eating that tomato, which I just picked up an hour down the road from an organic farm, and you know the difference now, don't you? And I went, boy, this just changed my life. I'm going to figure out what this is all about. And remember, my mom had just had this a cancer experience, so I said, this is it. Somehow this is the magic of how people stay well. Well, that whole thing has to do with rock dust. And by the way, this not only does this control this mechanism of healing within our body at these near quantum speeds, but as your promotion for this event implied, it also has a great deal to do with how weather patterns and life all across the oceans and the land masses maintain themselves in proper order. When the minerals exhaust, there will be extreme changes in weather, but not for global warming, other than that being the motor to a deep freeze. And so this is an issue we can get to maybe some other time when we have time to get into that. But the point is that our bodies, you know, from dust to dust, we're made from clay, we go back to clay, but that not just dust and not just clay, but minerals in a special form that do not dissolve in water. They suspend themselves
in water. And that apparently is critical.
And that structures the water, and that makes all the communication happen and everything else go into high gain. That's
what,
right.
Now, what about the sodium bicarbonate? Do we need to get that into our system?
All right. So in a nutshell, if we stop making hydrochloric acid to digest our foods, we're not making bicarb. And bicarb pulls the blocking agent that prevents the minerals from going back into the cells to make the high gain state. So baking soda is at the top of this entire chain of events. And on top of that, it kills Candida albicans on contact. And we now know that cancer and fungus are very closely associated. It's nearly impossible to not culture Candida albicans out of tumors. It's nearly impossible to discern the difference between a cancer cell and a fungus.
All right, but do you ingest it? What do you do? How do you do it?
Well, this is where we can get into trouble, because if people start taking baking soda in improper ways, they can do themselves a great deal of harm.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you can't just drink it, right?
You know, there are methods that you can do under supervision with doctors who are trained. And unfortunately, there's hardly any, right? Because of this political issue with Tullio Simoncini not being able to teach other doctors how to do it. There will be available literature in my books. And down the road, my goal is to teach other physicians and have Tullio teach other physicians how to properly use baking soda to deal with, as a major tool to defeat cancer.
Interesting. All right, stay with us. We're going to take a half hour phone calls with you, John, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we're going to talk about the Fed's push for tracking cell phones with Lauren Weinstein right here on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls with Dr. John Espy on Coast to Coast AM. Got calls lining up for you, Dr. John, so let's go to some calls. You ready?
I am.
Let's go to Niagara Falls, New York, first of all, east of the Rockies. Hey, James, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Dr. John Epsby. Hi, Dr. Beeler, Henry G. Beeler. He was a movie star's physician out of California. This is back in the 20s. Healed Gloria Swanson of a fibroid tumor the size of a grapefruit. But in his book called Food is Your Best Medicine, he talked about the three most important elements called sodium, potassium, and calcium, which are the plant obtains from what is called the alkaline earths, are the three elements the body needs the greatest. My mom's a 40-year cancer survivor,
right,
and she had cancer back in the late 60s, early 70s, and Gloria Swanson at the time, she died in 86, but my mom got a letter from her, and she put an X on Dr. Beeler's book, and she used, after she was butchered by conventional therapies, a hysterectomy as well as a mastectomy, but she put Dr. Beeler's book into practice, and what happened was, is the tumors that were on her right side of her body eventually dissolved. The body was able to digest it through the digestive tract, because digestion is used two ways. One, for elimination, as well as through digestion of the foods. But Dr. Beeler talked about it. We're wondering if you ever heard of Dr. Beeler, and talk about the three elements that he prescribed. He used zucchini for the sodium. He used potassium. He used green beans. And on the calcium, he used celery.
All right. Reaction to that, John.
Yeah, Beeler's work, I know it well. Part of this whole thing about metabolic typing, he was one of the greats that advanced that whole concept of how diet needed to match the type of a patient, not just the cancer the patient had. And so Beeler's work fit in really nicely to William Donald Kelly's work. But I think that Kelly really blessed the whole idea of metabolic typing. And even today in Manhattan, where Nick Gonzalez practices, and he has a big practice on pancreatic cancer, he's the world's expert in that now. So if you look at this, and I really appreciate the caller, because if you look at the history of how people have cured themselves with these pioneers, they all add up to a point where we're having this conversation tonight on radio with George. And we all stand on the giants of these previous people, but we can also say that we've really advanced the work, and thank goodness, because your mother had a much stronger constitution, let's face it, than you do, because the minerals in the soil started exhausting and were documented by the Senate, U.S. Senate, in 1936. So by 1962, let me give you an example. In 1948, we had 152 milligrams of iron in an average bowl of spinach, very important in cancer. By 1961, an average bowl of spinach had less than 2 milligrams of iron in it.
Wow.
Okay? Very important in cancer for this metals, which iron is, that activates this gel state or the high gain state of cell energy, okay?
What about supplements, John?
Yeah, this is the thing, that Kelly was the first that brought this forth, that we have to make up for this loss by supplementing. And we have to do it in a proper way. And, diet is the number one place to get it from, especially the juices from the fruits and the vegetables like zucchini, but in the raw state and from soil that has been heavily laced with the rock dust. We can take supplements in order to overcome that if we don't have access to rock dust grown organic vegetables and fruits. While we're working toward that, we can use supplements. And there are fantastic supplements out now that are specifically what we're talking about now, because there's a ton of supplements out there that remember, George and everyone else in the audience, we are not treating cancer with what we're talking about tonight. We are treating the system that repairs at 7.5 quintillion times a day. That's the system that will cure the cancer for you. The sodium bicarb and the other tools that we have are the priming agents that specifically get that system to work again. Now, this is before Beeler had the entire picture, but boy, he sure formed an important part of the puzzle. He was very, very critical with that.
Where do people get rock dust for their gardens?
Well, you can find it at any cement manufacturing facility. You just go get
it. Give me a bag, right? But it's not cement, is it?
No. It's the dust that screws up all of their equipment, so they don't want it. You can go down there and haul that off. It's the real fine stuff that will make you choke because it goes up in the air real easily. When Mount St. Helens erupted, a great deal of the ash fell in a little place in west of where I live in middle between Spokane and Seattle, and that they just dumped it into a quarry. And boy, I tell you, that's 100% beautiful fertilizer for anyone wanted.
Some places online sell this stuff too, I guess.
Yeah, you can get it for $25 for
a big bag.
Yeah, and it costs shipping, but. That's right, George. You can do it that way.
Interesting. Okay, next up, let's go to Kalamazoo, Michigan. Hello, Shelley. Go ahead.
Hello, George. This is Shelley. Oh, my gosh. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thoroughly enjoy you. I'm so happy you guys have took me on to talk to me because I'm so desperate right now. Dr. John S.P., thank you for listening to me. My cat, Maggie, was diagnosed with mammary carcinoma. I actually found it. It's very, very early. There were three nodules I found on her left side. And the only reason I would have found it is because I had a friend that died of breast cancer. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, could this happen to my little kitty? I just got back from a veterinary clinic, major university oncology clinic. Her diagnosis is mammary carcinoma and also squamous cell carcinoma. The nodules that were removed from her 2 weeks ago by my local veterinarian were 2 by 2 by 3 millimeters each. And she also has some other issues, which is hyperthyroidism. Possibly they don't have that. We won't have the test until tomorrow. They did an abdominal ultrasound, thoracic radiograph, chemistry, blood work, you name it. They did everything up there. They're recommending a radical mastectomy on both sides and chemotherapy.
Right. Well, first of all, it sounds like you've got some very. I went to Michigan State, so they have a great veterinarian school.
Did you? Both my sisters.
Awesome. These people were just most awesome. Oh my gosh.
Yes. In fact, that's where I started off in pre-vet. I think that you're in good hands. What I would suggest is that you remineralize your cat specifically with. If you determine that she does not have hyperthyroidism, I would consider adding in some minerals that include iodine, and you can ask your vet for the supplement that they suggest for that. But more importantly, I wouldn't do anything for you to treat your cat, but I would have you read up on black and yellow salve, and you can go online on Google it and a black and yellow salve. And what this does is it's a drawing agent. It pulls tumors that might be remaining after the surgery and after the chemo, once the cat has already been through the protocol. What you'll read about is a well tried and tested method of herbology that helps to pull remaining unwanted tissue and tumors out of the body harmlessly. But don't treat the cat with what I'm saying. Just read up on it and really become an expert in it from A to Z in case you need a plan B. And then if you decided that this is something you wanted to pursue, seek out, search around, go to Whole Foods, seek out some of the osteopaths there that might be into alternative medicine, maybe an alternative vet that's there. Seek out someone that can guide you. With the use of black and yellow salve. It might take some research, but you should be able to find somebody.
Let's go to Portland, Oregon now. First-time caller is Tom. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hello, George. It's a privilege to talk to you. I have listened to Coast to Coast for 20 years, and it's the first time I get through.
Super.
Dr. S.P., I have suffered from chronic fatigue syndrome for 17 years, and also I have HIV. I have several questions for you. Number one, is there any possibility that I can see you? The other question, any clinic that I can attend or treatment, all my specialists that I've seen in Oregon and Texas, they said there's no cure for chronic fatigue syndrome. And I would like some input from you.
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, let me dispel that myth. There's absolutely a cure for chronic fatigue syndrome. And again, Tom, the place to start is to read the book Hypothyroidism Type 2 by Mark Starr. And that's double R at the end of Starr. It will explain a great deal of that. Mark Starr was a rehab specialist, a physician who specializes in fibromyalgia, which is the other side of the coin to chronic fatigue syndrome. But you must have proper thyroid evaluation and proper thyroid treatment by a physician. But read the book first so that you can find that physician. Now, I would recommend, since you're in Portland, to seek out a naturopath. Now, I know that community down there pretty well. And what I'll have you do is to email me at japsley.msn.com, and I will tag into the naturopathic community there and find a physician there who's very familiar with using thyroid properly. That's number one. Number two, of course, iodine is very important, and there's all sorts of websites that are really excellent about educating on iodine. And then in regards to the HIV, there's an immune enhancer that has proven effective over the years, that is a type of oil that stabilizes a type of oxygen radical that's very common to the white blood cells. And as you know, in HIV, there's a group of white blood cells that become paralyzed, or they actually wind up becoming in very small number. And with this product, you can help with that situation as well. So if you'll email me at japsley.msn.com, I'll get you that information.
And let's spell your last name for us, John.
Sure. It's A, P as in Paul, S as in Sam, L-E-Y, at msn.com.
japsley@msn.com.
Great. That's correct.
Next up, we go to San Juan Islands in Washington, Gladreal, west of the Rockies.
Hey, oh, George, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure
thing. This is awesome. I've been a 15-year listener. Love you. Dr. Apsley, I battle candida all the time. It's like a chronic back and forth, round and round thing. And I wondered if you were familiar with Dr. Bach's flower remedies, because he's got one called rock water that I've never used. And I wondered if that would help with the minerals.
Now, I'm really grateful for this call. Let me just announce here tonight that all of this fungal, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, group of syndromes is directly involved with low thyroid and lack of iodine.
Okay. Now,
okay,
would kelp help that?
I'm sorry?
Would kelp help the iodine?
Yes, but when you see a physician who understands this, and there are plenty in this state, in the state of Washington,
mm-hmm.
There are supra mega doses of iodine that can be given under direct supervision. Don't do it on your own, but
because if you have a heart problem, for example, too much iodine could hurt you, right?
Oh, okay.
That's correct. Now the people in Japan, they consume at least 10 milligrams of iodine a day. That's a huge amount compared to what the recommended daily allowance is here in this country. But they're used to it, and they've done it all their life. But they have virtually no cancer, none of this chronic fatigue. They don't have any of these diseases as a direct result of that iodine intake. Well, people can build that up slowly under direct supervision by people that are experts in the field. However, there is a thing called iodism, which is when you take too much, and that causes a completely reversible group of symptoms that they're relatively harmless. For example, you'll start noticing a little bit more hair starting to fall out when you take too much iodine. That's completely reversible when you quit taking the iodine. But again, I say that to warn everyone, make sure you see a physician that understands how to properly administer iodine. So read the book, Hypothyroidism, Type 2. That's where you start. And then go online, and if you email me, I will give you the best website that I have found on iodine, so you can educate yourself on that.
When are your works going to come out, John? When are they ready, your books?
They'll be at the end of this year. There'll be both a professional book by the same title as well as the lay book. So people will know what to do at home, And especially if they're dead broke and if they have no other options or they can't find a physician, they'll have a great tool of resources for people to know what to do there. And then for the physician, it will have complete documentation from A to Z from the peer-reviewed medical literature that we discussed tonight as to how to go about treating cancer along these understandings.
Okay, next up we go to Houston. Hey, Mark, take it away.
Thank you very much for allowing me in, and this has been a terrific show. I've stayed up to listen to it. Dr. Apsley, I've seen on several websites and also apparently in the practice of Qigong the claim that cancers can't live in an alkaline body. Do you believe that that's true? If so, how does one alkalize the body? And then as a second question, do you believe that consuming food-grade diatomaceous earth is helpful?
Yes, to the last question. Food-grade diatomaceous earth is wonderful. To the first point, a qualified yes. High alkaline states of tissues are the only kind of tissues that are found in high gain energy states. So it's an absolute requirement that the cells are of high pH, meaning about 7.45 on the scale. This is inside the cell. Baking soda, of course, alkalinizes the system. And this is one way that cancer can be defeated. But the normal ways of alkalinizing a person that I studied, that I'm familiar with, and I've been at this for 30 years, do not work. They do not work because there's a lack of the person's own production of sodium bicarb, and there's a lack of oxygen in the system. The two must go hand in hand. So when you're alkalinizing the body, in other words, you can take all the alkaline foods you want. You can take all you want, and because there's that blocking agent that we talked about earlier on, which is hydrogen that comes off of all food, that will block the ability for the alkalinizing metals to go inside the cell where it has to go. I hope everyone gets that. Alkaline diets by themselves do not work. They help generally, but if you have advanced cancer, you have to get that hydrogen out of play, and that's done by oxygen and by sodium bicarb.
Fascinating. Well, we're almost out of time here, Dr. John. First of all, I want to thank you for the information you have brought to us tonight.
You're very, very welcome, George, and it's been a great pleasure.
You've got to speed up your works. You've got to get them out quicker.
I'm trying.
You really do. But you know what? This is the whole picture tells you, though, how Big Pharma doesn't want to help in this area.
Specifically, Big Pharma at the very top echelons does not. That I would say is true. I would say, again, there are lots of researchers who are hired and work for Big Pharma that don't have that sentiment at all. But you'd be surprised how fast they're dropped like a hot potato once they discover a cheap way to treat cancer.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. John Aspey. And I'll be back in a moment with Lauren Weinstein on Coast to Coast AM.